Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Cassource production. In this episode, we discuss podcasting as a lawyer, financial advisor, insurance agent, or business professional. This podcast exists in large part because of CASEM, the content marketing team inside Cassource Inc. So what does CASEM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? That's what we do. Content creation and content distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at CASEM, we exist to help entrepreneurs create and share amazing content. Learn more by visiting CASEM.com. If you fall into one of those categories mentioned before, you are probably thinking, why would I have a podcast? I'm telling you right now, you should let this conversation be your guide. While this chat is some months old, it is absolutely applicable right now. Since this chat, the individual I talk with, Mike Galkin, started his own law firm, Emily Law, in Miami, Florida. There are references to his old firm, which proves that creating content applies to both someone at a larger firm and someone running their own business. The bottom line is, if you're a business leader with specific thoughts to share, you should consider creating content either on your own or with a team. On to the chat about podcasting with Mike Elkins of MLE Law.
You've talked about just putting yourself out there and just putting stuff out there, and you are very strategic in what you are doing. In a lot of industries, there's compliance, and we always say the compliance nightmare, or you know, compliance is going to email you. And we're talking about the financial services industry, the legal industry, the anything related to that. And it's you know, you have the medical industry and HIPAA and all this stuff. It's a concern for a lot of people. And I know in large companies, and we work on our insurance side of the business, we work with a lot of insurance companies, and they'll come sit down with us and they love the content we're creating. And they're like, listen, I wish we could do more of that, but we can only use their library of content, because if we say anything outside of that, we'll lose our job or we'll get fined or something will happen. So it's a big issue, and people are very concerned as to, I don't want to say the wrong thing and get in trouble, which is good because you have people going very extreme and creating a lot of problems for people. As an attorney that is putting out content, how do you deal with the compliance that it, the compliance nightmare, let's call it, as I said before?
Yeah. That's a great question, and it's not so much a nightmare for me. I think that's a misconception as to at least lawyers in the state of Florida. So lawyers are governed by their state bars, right? So every state has its own ethics rules. They generally are similar. You know, don't steal your client's money and, you know, all that fun stuff. But there are some specific rules on advertising in the state of Florida, and they've recently been modified to at least somewhat reflect the change in media, right? Social media, Facebook, Instagram, all those things. So I make sure to follow those rules. They really aren't difficult to follow. There's certain things I can't do. You know, I can't guarantee a result to someone. So I certainly couldn't post on LinkedIn and say, hey, I got this case dismissed, I'll get your case dismissed too. That's not allowed. That's a pretty basic rule. I can't solicit in a certain manner. So I'm very careful not to tell people, you know, call me and we'll talk about this. I'll always say, you know, it's best to consult your labor and employment counsel. I'll say to people, if you have questions, you can direct message me, which is very different than telling people, you know, I will help you, if that makes sense. Other than that, you can definitely push your personal brand, and you can offer value, sort of a Gary Vaynerchuk-ism there, you know, make sure you're offering value to people. So I could post about trending topics in labor and employment law, you know, what I see happening. I comment sometimes on big cases that are out there, things like that, or I put scenarios out there for people. I think I did a post on Instagram recently about questions you can and cannot ask in a job interview, and I put like a little funny picture to go with it. That's totally allowed. So there's really a lot that you can do. You just have to read the rules and be careful not to violate them, but they're not that restrictive. In terms of internal compliance, well, I'm very fortunate that my law firm has not really stopped me from doing anything. I think when I started this, I didn't ask permission. I just did it. I figured, well, I'll ask for forgiveness instead of permission if it's a problem. And they were grinning and baring their teeth a little bit, like, we're going to let him do it, but we're nervous. And I get that, because change is different, right? People naturally are afraid of change. And my law firm, there's a lot of my equity partners or equity shareholders rather, who have been in this business 30 years, they don't care about Instagram or LinkedIn or any of those things. So they're kind of watching this and going, what's he doing? But then when they actually listened to the content, read the content, they realized, I think pretty quickly, that, oh, he's just pushing, you know, what he does and what we do and maybe why we're good at it and providing value to people in some way. So they've been really supportive, actually. We've had conversations. They've all been super positive, and they basically now kind of let me do what I want because we built trust, and they know I'm not going to put some post up that's like politically on one side or offering these controversial opinions about these crazy issues that would implicate the law firm. So they're really good about it. I don't know what everyone else's situation would be, but I'm tremendously fortunate that my firm has, for the most part, let me do what I want, how I want, which is huge.
It is huge. And I think more firms eventually will get there, but it is tough because they have a lot of the legalese in all their contracts and things they can and cannot say. And they don't have to be a law firm. They could be, like I said, an insurance company or financial planning firm, and they have issues. But I think one of the things that you just mentioned is important is you don't have to talk like your friend, Steve Nudelberg, you said. Yeah. You were talking about something that was had nothing to do with law, and now you're still not, but you're closer. So if a financial advisor were to create a podcast, they don't have to talk about the stock market, right? They don't have to talk about certain things. They can do, you know, hit the border and they're still there. And oh, by the way, they already know it's in your bio that you're a financial advisor. You don't have to tell them, here, call me at this number. They know it. They go to your LinkedIn page. It says what you do. And all of a sudden, if I want to talk to you, I can say, I'd like to talk to you. And that's what I think people have a hard time with, because we see it on Facebook all the time. They have this good post, and at the end of it, it says, call me and I will sell you something. And people are like, you just lost me right there.
That's right. Yeah, that's such a good point. I think people really appreciate if you're just genuinely giving them something, trying to help them out. So like without trying to sell them. So when I do a post gearing it towards, it's always towards business owners because I represent businesses. And I'll say, look, here's what you can and can't do in a job interview. Make sure you go talk to your local labor and employment council to make sure you're doing the right things. I'm just telling them, here's a little bit of advice. It's not advice. I shouldn't say that, but here's just a little bit of information. Take it and go talk to your local lawyer if you think that there's a problem. You know, financial advisors, insurance. I mean, there's so much you can do that's not sales. And I guess this is Gary V too. It's not about sales. And I've explained that to people at my firm. It's not about a one-to-one transaction. I'm never looking at the one-to-one, never. I could care less if I ever get a case out of anything that I do. What I'm looking at is to let people know what I do, let them know how I do it, and hopefully give them something, some value from whatever my content is. Hopefully they take something good away from it, and that's it. And if they need anything, they certainly can find me, but I'm not pushing a one-to-one sale ever. It's really about the overall personal brand. And I think over time, that's going to win out over the people that are hunting, you know, one sale at a time. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes total sense, because in our marketing business at Catsia, when we talk to our clients about this, it's interesting to watch them change over time, because they'll come in and they're like, I want to buy Google Ads and I want someone to click on it and I want them to call me and I want the business right then and there. And I'm not saying you can't do that and can't have success. Do that. But those are like the short-term wins. We're talking way bigger here. And wait till it happens. Wait until you create a good piece of content on Instagram and people follow it and they've seen you, they've heard you on a podcast, they saw a sign for you, and then all of a sudden there's an Instagram post and there's some comments and they really liked it. And then they say, I would love to talk to you. We've seen that happen. And when you see the business owner's face, they're like, wow, so this thing actually works. And it wasn't even about the sale, because the trust now has been built, right? Now they know who you are, you've built the trust, and now they want to talk to you. So we see this all the time. So everything that you're saying, I mean, you're preaching to the choir, and this is, it's not trying to convince someone of it, because we always say, listen, I'm not here to convince you that this is the way to do it. If you want to hear our thesis and our thoughts around it, absolutely, we will share that with you. But this is, it's not for everyone, and if you're not ready for it, don't do it. If you're not willing to put yourself out there and create unique content and be a little bit different, maybe you shouldn't do it yet. But absolutely, like on the marketing side, we see this all the time. And we've seen it in our own business. I mean, I talked about before, like we started as an insurance company. And I realized no one wants to talk about insurance. but they will talk about the content that we're creating, the sports, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, what are you doing? We're creating content for our business. And they're like, well, that's interesting. Oh, by the way, you sell insurance. Okay, it's great. But then it became, well, you're creating this content and you're doing all this marketing for yourself. Can you do that for us? And that was fascinating. Yeah. And then it became proof of concept. And more people came, and more people came. And that's how the marketing business developed. So you don't even know what are the different things that you can create, because these industries are getting disrupted. The legal industry is getting disrupted. The insurance industry, the accounting industry, there's software that they're creating. There's all these different things that are happening. So we're looking out to say to business owners, what are you going to do if you're Blockbuster and Netflix comes around? Why didn't you think of those ideas? You could have had that, right? Or you mentioned before, you know, Airbnb, you know, whatever that might be. So anyway, what you're saying is true. And the reason I'm talking so much about it right now is because we've seen it play out for many business owners.
Yeah. And it's amazing in the law industry, when I talk to other lawyers who don't do this kind of marketing, the question always is, well, how many cases have you gotten from that? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten that question. And my response is the same. Is I say, I don't know. I have no idea how many I've gotten, and I don't care. It's not about that. That is sort of the old, I think, I don't want to say it's the old school way, but it's a very, I think, short-sighted view. And so I figure I've got another 25 years, God willing, right, of working hard and doing this. And I really, look, I love what I do. So I hope I have another 25 years, because in my view, I'm in the best area of law. It's just so much fun every day. So I don't care about the one-to-one. I don't want to say that I don't care, but I mean, I have relationships that have been built, and people in the community know who I am. So I'm comfortable that by putting out content, whether it's labor and employment tips and information, or pushing the podcast and interviewing successful people in various industries, or posting a little bit about Brady and the Patriots, or even humanizing things and posting about my dog who's sitting here, you know, bugging me right now. Over the long haul, that's what's going to win, and that's what gets attention. And I do say to people, look, when I was practicing law, I've been doing this almost 17 years. So it'll be 17 years in October. The first 14 and a half, let's say, nobody ever knew what I did, unless I like went to an event and talked to people. And that really didn't work too well for me. But in terms of being out in the community, out and about in Fort Lauderdale or Miami, people that I were acquaintances never knew what I did. As soon as I started pushing content, and as soon as I started putting myself out there consistently, the response was a total 180. And people were coming up to me, oh my God, I had no idea that you did A, B, C, or D. I had no idea you could do this. Oh, I had no idea you went to trial. You know, I was preparing for a trial probably 4 months ago, and I was like late at night, and I posted a picture and put it on LinkedIn and sort of talked about how trials are won behind the scenes, all the preparation. And all of a sudden the trial ends, and I come back, and I was out with friends on a Friday night, and like five people come up to me and say, hey, I had no idea that you actually went to trial. I thought you sat in an office all day. Now, those people didn't hand me a file right then and there, but that's five people that, you know, that clearly took note that never would have known had I not put that post up. That's, to me, that's the value. So those people, if they have something come up down the road, I tend to think that they'll email me or pick up the phone, or they at least know that I'm there. That's the point.
Yep, that is the point. And it isn't, it's like you should tend to think, because that is the way it happens. And it doesn't, maybe it's not for everybody. Maybe some people, I don't like that. Okay, because you're not going to please everyone. And how many clients can you have? Because you do like, you're talking about the one-to-one sale online, or you're like, hey, call me up, this or that. You're the one-on-one guy that will talk to that one person that says, now tell me more about what you do. Now you take that thing that supposedly doesn't scale. That is the thing that's going to build your brand, that is going to build your business. And I mean, that's why it was so important to say, I have to have you on this podcast again. I do think podcasting is one, I always talk about the truest form of content marketing. Like the opposite of that is posting something and then asking and then saying like, buy this or call me. That's not the truest form of content marketing. Truest form is just talking and not asking for anything in return. When you're on a podcast, you're sharing ideas and thoughts, and whether they're good thoughts or ideas, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that you are trying to put something out there, and anyone can take it. And so by that nature that you have of wanting to help. So if another attorney calls you up, you're like, can you help me out with this? And what bike should I buy? And how do I do this? And what should I, you'll talk to them. And that's what podcasting, I feel like there's a community of that. And I think it's really great to see. And that's why we want to talk to people like yourself that are doing this and that are helping other people also create good content. Because I believe we need more small business owners, more salespeople, more everybody, if it's good and quality and they're spending a little bit of time with it, creating unique content about their story, yeah. Not just regurgitating what everyone else says, because there's a lot of that too. So it goes, you know, there's the pros and the cons of it, just like anything else. But we need more of that.
You brought up a really great point when you said, you know, telling their story and not just regurgitating. And that's the key, right? If you get someone on your podcast and they tell their story, and they're not going to be regurgitating because they're telling something that's personal to them. That's such a good point. I just heard you say that. I was like, oh, that's the key right there. If you're telling your story, it's unique automatically because it's you. That makes any sense. And, you know, I just had a buddy of mine who's a strength and conditioning coach in North Carolina on the podcast, because he had a great story about selling a business and moving to France and then coming back. And, you know, he had never done a podcast, didn't know much about it. And then since we pushed his episode, he's been texting me. He's like, oh my God. He's like, I'm getting so much feedback from the podcast, all these people coming out of the woodwork. He's like, I love it. Let's do it again. And I think that's important to show people how powerful this medium is, especially since it's a very passive way for people to consume the content, right? Like, I consume podcasts when I'm driving, when I'm cooking, hanging around the house. And I think a lot of people do that. So you're reaching people when you otherwise wouldn't be able to under normal marketing circumstances, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's when I started this business, it's 5.5, 6 years almost. Before that, when I started really reading a lot and taking it serious, I also got into podcasts and I just listened to them and then built up and had so many, and I just loved it. And it was like, first of all, it was the right noise in my head that I needed. But it was also all these different ideas and thoughts and ways to think about. And then you go down these rabbit holes and you learn about new books to read, right? Or new podcasts to listen to.
Yeah.
And then when it came out, I'm like, wait a second. So we could do this here. And it worked for me because of all the things you talk about. I had young kids at the time, so I could take them on a walk and put one in the stroller and just listen to my podcast. I could work out. I could do something in the yard. I can get in my car when I'm traveling in a business, whatever that is. I realized how good it was, and I thought that if it was good enough for me, then I think it could be good enough for other people as well. And so it's like you're talking about before, like, what is the truest way that you can put your thoughts out there to maybe make new relationships, as opposed to having to show up, like you said, to a networking event that might not be the best use of your time. And it's talked about often that those aren't the best uses of time, always. Anyway.
No, yeah, they're not.
So it is... It is early still, like you said. There are a lot out there. There's podcasts starting all the time now, but good ones rise. And it depends. Like, are you monetizing your podcast, and do you need thousands or millions of people to listen to it? Or if one person hears it, could that make all the difference? And I think, yeah, a lot of times people get caught up in the vanity metrics. How many people are listening to your podcast? Well, you know, and those analytics are way off right now anyway, in many respects. And yep, they talk about it, but aren't we looking for the right people to look at it or listen, yeah, to it, I should say? That's more important to me. It's like you said, if one person says, Mick, I didn't know you were a trial lawyer, yeah, and no one else heard it, well, maybe that's the person that needed to hear it, and that's going to help you the most.
I mean, that's another great point. I used to get caught up in those metrics, and then I researched the metrics and realized no one really knows who's listening, because they have no way of tracking if your number of plays is unique people versus someone who started listening to it and then picked it back up. And then I realized it doesn't matter if I have 10,000 plays or 110 or 50. What matters is that one person took the time to listen to what I'm talking about. That's enough. Just one. That's all that matters. It really is. And as long as I'm comfortable with what's getting put out there, and my co-host is comfortable, and the guest is happy, and we all like what we're doing, and we're having fun with it, that's what matters. I guess another sort of Vaynerchuk-ism is, you know, don't get caught up in the likes and the follows. And that's true. And it's easy to get caught up in that. I do that. I've posted stuff, and like, God, this didn't really get a lot of attention. And then I realized, it doesn't matter. I mean, it just doesn't matter. Ultimately, if you're reaching people and you're happy with what you're putting out there, and if one person's paying attention, that's better than no one.
That's right. That's it. Well, the good news is I am listening to your podcast. So you do have one person. So keep producing it. I will keep listening to it.
I listen to yours as well.
Well, we appreciate that likewise. So, no, it's good stuff, man. And appreciate you spending some time with us. One of the best things about being an entrepreneur and the host of a podcast is the opportunity to chat with dynamic people like Mike Elkins. If you want to learn more about Mike and his firm, MLE Law, absolutely hit him up at mlelawfirm.com. In full disclosure, our marketing group, Cassium, helped build Mike's website. Shout out to John Priori and Scott Upton at Cassium for their amazing work on this project. And of course, Mike Elkins for being a great partner to work with on his website. If you want to connect with me, you can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter at Eric_Cass. Thank you for listening to our Cassource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of Cassium, the content marketing team inside Cassource Inc. So what does Cassium do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? That's what we do. Content creation and content distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at Cassium, we exist to help entrepreneurs create and share amazing content. Learn more by visiting cassium.com.